Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. On this episode, we're featuring a clip from Discovery Senior Fellow Biologist Jonathan Wells, whose new book, The Myth of Junk DNA, is out now. Where did this idea of junk DNA come from? How did it become the dominant view of science? And what's the problem with this argument? Listen in as Dr. Wells explains.
Well, the whole notion of junk DNA has an interesting history. When Darwinism was combined with Mendelian genetics in the 1930s to make what we call neo-Darwinism, and then genetics became molecular in the 1950s with Watson and Crick's description of DNA, neo-Darwinism became caught up with or associated with something called the central dogma, which is that DNA makes RNA, makes protein, makes us. That way, if you mutate the DNA, you change us. You can change us into another species. So neo-Darwinism is heavily dependent on this idea that DNA is the secret of life, as Francis Crick called it in 1953. Well, the problem arose soon afterwards in the 60s when it became clear that most of our DNA does not code for protein. Something like 98% or more of human DNA does not carry a code for protein. Only 1% or 2% actually does that. So some people at the time, in the 70s, labeled this other DNA junk, in the sense that it was just garbage that got carried along in the course of evolution because it had no function, so natural selection couldn't weed it out and it just hung around. Not all scientists believed that. Even in the 70s, some scientists said, well, there's probably some function to it, even though we don't know what it is. But the dominant view became that of neo-Darwinism, that it's actually junk. Richard Dawkins made this famous in the 70s and 80s and 90s and the 2000s, and even now. Other people who have promoted the idea that most of our DNA is junk include Francis Collins of the National Institutes of Health, Jerry Coyne of the University of Chicago, well-known geneticist, John Avis of the University of California, have promoted the idea that most human DNA is junk. The problem is that with the advent of the Human Genome Project and the projects that followed after that, it quickly became clear that much of what had been called junk is not junk at all. Even though much of our DNA may not code for protein, it still codes for RNAs that are involved in the production of proteins and in many other aspects of our development. So junk DNA is a myth in that sense, that most of human DNA appears to have some function.
As Dr. Wells details in his new book, The Myth of Junk DNA, it's the new research showing that our DNA does indeed have function that challenges the neo-Darwinian story. Stay tuned to ID the Future for more from biologist Jonathan Wells on his new book, and check out the website at www.mythofjunkdna.com. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith with the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com. Want to spend your summer studying intelligent design in Seattle for free? Discovery Institute is raising up the next generation of scientists and scholars with the 2011 summer seminars for college juniors, seniors, and graduate students. The two intensive 9-day learning opportunities run from July 8th through 16th. This year, in addition to the seminar focusing on ID and the natural sciences, the Center for Science and Culture announces the new C.S. Lewis Fellows Program on Science and Society, which will explore the growing impact of science on politics, economics, social policy, bioethics, theology, and the arts. Discovery Institute will pay expenses for students who are accepted into the programs, and applications are open now through April 22, 2011. For more information, visit www.discovery.org/STEM. That's www.discovery.org/SEM.